Chapter 3. The Hunt. Now it was clear to me that my life was in great danger. I was convinced that Moreau was carrying out vivisection experiments on man because I connected the bad reputation of the scientist with the animal-like looks of the beings that I had met on the island. Those creatures were the results of horrible tests that the doctor was performing on this faraway island. Those two criminals had decided to take me to the island with the aim of using me for their experiments. They wanted to torture me to transform me into one of those animal-like people. I quickly looked round for a weapon, but could not find anything. Then I saw a walking stick near the door and picked it up to defend myself. When I opened the door, I met Montgomery. No doubt he had come to lock me in the room. I tried to hit him with the metal handle of the walking stick, but moving back quickly, he dodged the blow. However, I took the opportunity to rush out and ran towards the beach.
Prendick, where are you going?
He cried in surprise.
Don't be stupid. Get back.
Immediately, Montgomery started to run after me, shouting. Turning round, I could see him and his servant, who was running faster than his master. I ran up and down a small hill and went into a rocky valley surrounded by the jungle on both sides. I ran for more than a kilometre, and then, exhausted, I lay down to have a rest protected by high canes. I hid there for a long time. I could hear the distant barking of a dog and Montgomery's voice getting further and further away. At last I could only hear the waves of the sea and some flies flying around me. I started thinking of a plan of action. This island is inhabited only by these two mad scientists and their animalized victims. Some of these are their servants and ready to fight against me. Both Monroe and Montgomery carry revolvers, while I have a walking stick. I'm practically unarmed. While I was thinking of my situation, I heard noises in my stomach. I felt even more miserable and worried, considering that I had no idea of how and where to get something to eat. I had not seen any fruit trees, and I was too ignorant on botany to look for roots or berries to eat. I did not know how to catch rabbits or fish without the right equipment. At last, in the desperation of my situation, I thought of the animal men I had met. Perhaps they were not aggressive, and perhaps some of them could help me. With the walking stick in my hand, I got out of the hiding place and went into the forest. Here, high in the trees, I saw a black-faced being who was looking at me. It dropped from the tree and stared at me curiously. I seized the stick firmly.
You!
It repeated together with other indistinct signs while it was coming near me.
You, in the boat.
Yes, I came in the boat from the ship, I said, and thought that it was a man as he could talk.
Oh,
he said. His eyes were moving all around me. He stared at my hands for a while. Then he raised his right hand and started to count his fingers.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, eh?
I could not understand what that meant. Perhaps a form of greeting, I thought, so I replied in the same way, counting the fingers of my left hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, eh? The creature grinned with great satisfaction and disappeared into the trees. I cautiously followed him and found him hanging from a tree branch by one arm. Hello, said I. He jumped down and stood opposite me. Excuse me, said I. Where can I get something to eat?
Eat?
He said.
Eat man's food. At the huts.
The huts? But where are the huts? I'm new, you know. He turned round and started to walk very quickly.
Come,
said he. I followed him. My ape-like companion moved very fast, with his hands hanging down and his jaw forward. How long have you been here? I asked.
How long?
He repeated without continuing. How long for have you been on this island?
How long?
And showed three fingers. 3 years, I see.
No,
he said, and showed me three fingers again. Ah, 3 months.
No,
he said, and showed me three fingers once again. You mean 3 weeks? Ah, no, 3 days. Oh, never mind, forget it. I realized he did not understand what I was asking him. His answers were senseless, so I did not ask him any more questions. After a few minutes, he stopped near a bush to pick some strange berries. He ate them with pleasure, so there was something to eat on this island. After a long walk, we got to a rocky place near the sea. I followed the ape-like companion along a narrow path between two high rocky walls. The passage was very dark. Suddenly, my guide stopped and said,
"Home."
I heard strange noises and could smell a terrible odour, like that of an unclean monkey's cage. Then along the narrow path, I saw a village of huts, the creatures' homes. The ape man disappeared into one of these. There was rotten fruit everywhere, and strange people of different shapes and looks were looking at me in the shadows. The ape man appeared again and gave me an opened coconut. I drank the milk in it and ate some of its white, sweet pulp. I felt better and followed him inside a hut, holding my walking stick tightly by its lower part. I saw a shapeless thing, but as the hut was very dark, I could not see the face.
"Hey,"
said the thing.
"It's a man."
"It's a man,"
said my guide.
A man, like me."
"Shut up,"
said the voice from the dark. I tried to look hard into the blackness, but could not distinguish anything.
"It's a man,"
the voice repeated.
"Has he come to live with us?"
"Yes, I've come to live with you," I said.
"It's a man. He must learn the law,"
grunted the thing in the dark.
"Say the words. Don't go on all fours. That is the law,"
it repeated in a kind of sing-song.
"Say the words,"
said the ape man, and the figures in the doorway repeated this, but with angry voices. I was puzzled, but then I realized that I had to repeat this idiotic formula. The voice in the dark began singing a crazy litany, line by line, and I and the rest had to repeat it. As they did so, they moved from side to side in a strange way and beat their hands on their knees. I followed their example.
"Don't go on all fours. That is the law. Are we not men? Don't suck drink. That is the law. Are we not men? Don't eat meat or fish. That is the law. Are we not men? Don't claw the bark of trees. That is the law. Are we not men? Don't chase other men. That is the law. Are we not men?"
A kind of non-stop rhythm took possession of all of us, and we moved faster and faster, repeating the law. We repeated a long list of prohibitions, and then the sing-song changed.
"His is the house of pain. His is the hand that makes. His is the hand that hurts. His is the hand that heals. His is the flash of lightning. His is the deep salt sea. His are the stars in the sky."
And so on, for another long series, mostly quite incomprehensible nonsense to me about him, whoever he might be. Then a horrible idea came into my head. Moreau, after animalizing these men, had inculcated the cult of personality of himself into their brains. However, I could only see sharp white teeth and strong claws around me and did not dare to stop my chanting. Imagine yourself surrounded by the most horrible deformed maniacs in the world, and you may understand a little of my feelings with these grotesque caricatures of humanity around me. At last that song ended. My eyes were now accustomed to the darkness, so I saw the figure in the corner from which the voice came more distinctly. It was the size of a man, but it seemed covered with a grey hair almost like a big dog. What was it? What were they all?
He's a five man. A five man, like me,
said the ape man. The grey creature in the corner moved towards the entrance and took my hand. I saw with disgust that his face was neither that of a man nor of a beast. It was just a mass of grey hair, with three holes for the eyes and the mouth.
He has short nails,
said this shocking creature.
That is good.
He dropped my hand and then said solemnly,
I am the sayer of the law. All that are new come here to learn the law. I sit in the darkness and say the law. Terrible are the punishments for those who break the law. No one escapes.
No one escapes,
repeated the beast people, glancing at one another.
No one, no one,
said the ape man.
No one escapes. Look, I did a wrong thing once, and the master burnt my hand. See the mark on my hand? He is great. He is good.
No one escapes,
said the grey creature in the corner.
No one escapes,
said the beast people, glancing at one another again.
Sooner or later, we all want to do a thing that is bad,
said the sayer of the law.
To walk on all fours, to drink without cups, to claw on the bark of trees, to eat meat or fish, to chase other men. These are all bad things. That is not the law. These are not the things that men do. But we are men, aren't we? We are men because the master has made us men.
No one escapes,
said the ape man.
No one escapes,
said another strange creature.
Punishment is terrible and sure. So learn the law. Say the words. Don't go on all fours. That is the law. Aren't we men?
And he began again the strange litany of the law, and again I and all those beast people began singing and moving from side to side. Suddenly we heard a lot of noise coming from outside. One of those creatures rushed into the hut, crying something which I could not understand. Everyone hurried out of the hut, the ape man and the sayer of the law included. I could hear the furious barking of a dog. I also got out and saw all those dreadful monsters gesticulating in an excited way. Moreau and Montgomery were there, and they were coming towards me. Moreau looked very pale and terrible, and was with his big dog. Montgomery had a gun in his hand. I got scared to death, but holding the walking stick firmly, quickly moved into a narrow, long opening between the rocks.
Stop!
Cried Moreau, and then...
Hold him!
Everyone turned towards me, but no one moved. Those creatures did not understand. Their brains were too slow. A few seconds later, I saw the hairy monster coming towards me. He grabbed my hand, but I was able to free myself from him. With the handle of the stick, I hit another creature who was in my way and ran as fast as I could up the rocks into the forest.
Catch him! Come on, catch him!
It was Moreau's voice behind me. I followed a narrow path in the forest. The bushes were full of thorns. They hurt my arms and my legs. I could hear my chasers shouting like hungry and excited animals. They were getting closer and closer. But then I turned suddenly to the right and fell down a slope. I stood up and heard the barking of the dog and the noise of the beast people becoming weaker and fading away. I had lost my walking stick, but it had become a ridiculous weapon at this point. At the same time, I heard the noise of the sea. It was my only escape. I intended to drown myself, which was much better than being tortured and animalized by these two mad scientists. Now I knew that both they and the beast people were extremely dangerous. I could not ask for their protection. I had to find a gun, or at least a large knife in the house. So I walked along the beach. The sun was setting and the waves were gently breaking on the beach. I was bleeding from several wounds, but I did not feel so bad because I had some hope now. Then, suddenly, far in front of me, I saw several figures emerging from the bushes. Moreau with his big dog, Montgomery and three others. They saw me and began gesticulating and advancing. I stood watching them coming nearer. The three beastmen came running forward to cut me off from the forest. Montgomery came running also, but straight towards me. Moreau followed more slowly with the dog. I walked straight into the water, which was not deep at first. Then I got to a point where the water reached up to my shoulders.
"What the hell are you doing, Pendick?"
cried Montgomery. Moreau was just coming up. His dog was barking at me. Both men had heavy whips. The beast men were watching the scene far from the beach. "What am I doing? I'm going to kill myself," said I. Moreau and Montgomery looked at each other, puzzled. Then Moreau, turning towards me, asked,
"But why?"
"Because that is better than being tortured by you," I shouted.
"What makes you think I will torture you?"
asked Moreau. "What I saw," I said. "And those people over there, they were men. What are they now? At least I will not end up like them."
"What are you saying, Prendick?"
asked Montgomery. "Who are these creatures?" I shouted, pointing them. "They used to be men, men like yourselves." Moreau and Montgomery looked at one another. "Hey, you," I cried, addressing the beast men. "Can't you see that these men fear you? Why then do you fear them? There are many of you." The beast men looked at me strangely. They moved closer to hear me better.
"For God's sake,"
cried Montgomery.
"Stop that, Prendick."
"Listen to me for a moment,"
said Moreau,
"and then say what you want. This is Latin, Prendick. Try to understand. I non sunt hominus, sunt animalia quae nos habemus vivisected. A humanizing process. I will explain. Get back to the beach."
"A nice story," I said. "They talk, build houses. They were men."
"The water just beyond where you stand is deep and full of sharks."
"Fine. I'll die like that then. Better than your experiments," I said. Moreau talked to Montgomery for a few seconds, and then they put their guns on the sand. After that, they went up to the top of the beach.
"Prendick, I want you to think over things,"
said Moreau from there, speaking loudly.
"I never asked you to come to this island. If we've vivisected men, we should import men, not beasts. We have chased you for your own good, because this island is full of dangers. Besides, why should we want to kill you when you have just offered to drown yourself?
But I saw, said I, a man in your laboratory.
That was the puma.
Look here, Prendick,
said Montgomery.
You're a silly man. Come out of the water and take these revolvers. Then let's talk.
I'll take the risk, said I. At last I came out of the water, and with a revolver in each hand, I walked up the beach towards them.
That's better, said Moreau rudely. I've lost the best part of my day because of you.
He and Montgomery turned and walked towards the house in silence. The beast men, silent and puzzled, were watching us. According to Moreau, once they used to be ordinary animals. I had never seen an animal trying to think before.